You're listening to The Exchange. I'm Mary Hartnett. This week, we recognize the Days of Remembrance for the victims of the Holocaust, which is observed as Israel's Day of Commemoration for approximately 6 million Jews who perished in the Holocaust as a result of actions carried out by Nazi Germany and its collaborators, and for the Jewish resistance in that period. Today, we talk with two authors with new books about a spotlight on some less-known stories from the Holocaust. The first brings to light the lives of some fearless women who fought as part of the resistance in the Jewish ghettos of Poland. Judy Battalion is the author of the new book called The Light of Days, The Untold Story of Women Resistance Fighters in Hitler's Ghettos. Judy lately has been all over national media talking about the book, and it's been optioned for a film by Steven Spielberg. Judy says, in the beginning, it was her desire to write about strong Jewish women, and that led her to uncover many, many untold stories of these courageous women.
I was interested in myself. I was exploring my Jewish identity. I'm the granddaughter of Holocaust survivors. I was interested in how I handled danger. And I thought immediately to Chana Senish, who I had studied in middle school. And she was a Hungarian, a young Jew who had moved to what was then Palestine before the war, but then during World War II decided to join the Allied forces, become a paratrooper, and volunteered to return to Nazi-occupied Europe to fight. So I was very taken by this story, but I wanted to understand. She was the symbol of Jewish heroics. She was a hero, but I wanted to understand Chana Senish, the person. Who does this? Who goes back to fight the Nazis as a 20-something young woman? I mean, I wanted to understand that psychology. That's what led me to the British Library. And I was looking up books on Chana Senish. There weren't very many, so I just ordered whatever they had and picked up the stack. And one of those books was a bit unusual. You know, it was an old book, dusty, with a fabric cover, gold lettering, and it was also in Yiddish. And it was called Frauen in die Ghettos, Women in the Ghettos. But even more unusual, I happened to speak Yiddish. So I started reading through this book, looking for Chana Senish originally, but she was only in the last few pages. In front of her, there were, 170 pages of stories of other young Jewish women who were blowing up Nazi supply trains, smuggling weapons in handbags, and running large-scale rescue networks. And this was just a story I had never heard.
You know, and she wasn't the only one who came from a point of safety to come and do this, right?
Yes. Well, I mean, several of the women had already fled. They left Nazi-occupied Poland and decided to go back. Several of the women I write about, they felt they must go and help and lead the Jewish people and fight back and defy. And they smuggled themselves back into Nazi-occupied Poland.
Yeah, I can't imagine putting myself in that kind of danger.
I mean, either. And that is why I became so obsessed with these women. They seemed so, so different to me. I really was taken by them.
You know, the stories are both kind of exhilarating and then sad when some of them are killed. And then some of them, it's just kind of, they do things that any young woman might do to flirt with someone, some guard or someone to get something done, to get something they need. And they dress up and they look a certain way. I was really kind of taken with their ability to use everything and anything at their disposal, with their feminine wiles, their ability to hide weapons in potato bags or whatever it is. They seem very much, they're very inventive or just very capable.
Inventive and capable. One of my favorite anecdotes is one of the women, Lanka Kazabrodska. I mean, she was a master courier smuggling weapons across the country. And she was one day carrying a valise full of contraband, full of ammunition. And she asked the Gestapo man to carry it for her, you know, because in a flirtatious, it was so heavy. Can he take it for her? And this was part of the ruse, part of the disguise. They were passing as Christian girls. And in order to do that, they had to look a certain way, lighter, blonder. And they had to act a certain way with confidence, with chutzpah.
They weren't, you know, under the sort of problems that men would have had, who were often, they'd be forced to, you know, show whether or not they were circumcised. They did not have that problem.
Yeah, women were able to do some of this undercover work better than men because, first of all, they were not circumcised. They didn't have this Jewish marker on their body. So they weren't subject to the pants drop test, which men were. And women also often in the 1930s, when the women I'm writing about were educated, and education was mandatory for girls in Poland, many of Jewish families, they sent their sons to private Jewish schools, but their daughters went to public Polish schools. And because of that, these girls learned to speak Polish. They talk about this all the time, like a Polish without, as they say, the creaky Yiddish accent. So they spoke a Polish as any Catholic Pole would speak. They were acculturated. They knew Polish mannerisms. They'd had Catholic friends. And that really helped them disguise themselves and pass.
The ends that some of these women faced is so tragic to read about their deaths, and especially their torture is very difficult to think about that. And yet they seemed so brave through it.
I read, you know, dozens and dozens and dozens of these memoirs, and some of them, it was so difficult to read. These women, especially the ones who were taken for spies, many of them they didn't even know they were Jewish. They thought they were Polish spies, but they were tortured. I mean, brutally, brutally tortured.
One of the stories, she was married and she and her husband escaped, and they got to, I think the border, they were going to make it over the border and I think into Hungary or something. And they were caught before they made it. And then they were killed. And I think, you know, you're going along reading about this person and thinking, oh, well, look, they slip out of this and that, and then they don't make it. And it just goes to show, you know, that was a situation that you could never feel, no matter how smart you are or prepared you thought you are. There was never a guarantee that you were going to make it out.
Of course. I mean, most of these women were killed. Most of them were killed. I mean, a lot of it was luck. Of course, they were cunning and daring people. They were incredible, but also there was a lot of luck involved.
Now, your grandmother survived this as well. Did she get out of Poland?
Yeah, she escaped Poland very early on in the war. She was married at the time. She was a bit older than the women that I write about here. Her and my grandfather fled east. And like the majority of Polish Jews who did survive, about 300,000 Polish Jews survived out of 3.3 million. But those 200,000 of those, the majority survived in this way. They went east. They crossed into Soviet, Russian territory. And my grandparents were actually, they were imprisoned in Siberian work camps, which they never talked about. That's another book that to write another time. But that ironically, in those horrible conditions, they did survive the war.
Wow, because so many people did not survive those camps.
Most people did not survive, but yes, I mean.
You know, it sounds like this left a big impression on you knowing about this, even though she didn't necessarily talk about the details.
Oh, my grandmother raised me. My grandmother was my hero. She was the strongest person I knew. She was someone who, there was a bee buzzing around me, she'd just squash it with her fingers. She was not afraid. She was tough. And yeah, she had a different experience in the war than what I'm writing about here. But of course, her experience inspired all my queries and questions.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. You say she didn't want to go through the details. I was talking to a man, an author yesterday, whose mother survived the Nazis in Italy. And he said, she will never, ever tell me what happened. But since I'm writing about them, she's glad I'm writing about them, but she will never tell me what happened to her.
So this is very common, and this is one of the reasons why this story hasn't been well known until hopefully I bring it out now. Many of these women did not talk about their experiences, even though they were, I mean, They were shooting Nazis. They were blowing up trains. They were running anti-fascist leagues of even with anti-Nazi Germans and partisans and doing intelligence missions for the Red Army. They did not, many of them did not talk about their experiences, both because they felt, some of them felt that people didn't believe them. They felt they were accused, especially right after the war, either of having abandoned their families to fight or of sleeping their way to safety. Many of these women felt, they felt actually, the women I write about, a real survivor's guilt because they hadn't been at Auschwitz. They hadn't been in these, in the death camps. And they felt, even though their stories are traumatic and incredible, they felt they hadn't even had it that bad compared to others. So they silenced themselves. And then many of them really just needed to move on. They were very, you know, I'm writing about people who were about 20 years old during the war. When the war was over, they had their whole lives ahead of them and they needed to find ways to live, to go on surviving. And they, many of them, you know, they really felt a deep duty to have children, to raise normal, healthy, happy families. And because of that too, many of these stories were repressed for a long time.
Well, before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about the children's version of this book that you wrote. I think it's great that you did that.
Yeah, there's a children's edition of the book and it's geared at ages 10 to 14. And yeah, I mean, as I told you at the beginning of our interview, when I first came to write about the subject, I thought about Hannah Senish, who I had studied in middle school. And it just feels like such an important and impressionable time. And I really wanted children of that age to know the stories, to know this part of their legacy.
There's something very universal about this story, about people being brave and people continuing to fight, even though everyone says there's no use in doing this.
I mean, these women had nothing and they took on an army that the biggest armies in the world couldn't defeat Hitler, and that didn't matter. They went out there and they fought for freedom. They fought for their convictions. They fought for justice. That's what I want all readers to take from this.
That was Judy Battalion. She's the author of the book, The Light of Days, The Untold Story of Women Resistance Fighters in Hitler's Ghettos. Judy has also written a version of the book for young readers.